The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton.
Good night, everyone. And those who are listening abroad, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, one of the top radio stations in the country. You know, we have a lot of hosts on Guardian to defend the people, come up with solutions and question those in power on what needs to be done in the country, and also to put pressure on them so that they can do the right thing. So we're going to have the talks today about media and its effect, just a small portion on how we help change the landscape of laws, also make the politician think on how they're going to address the general public on what is the right thing to do. It also exposes flaws in the system. Especially when it comes to information regarding, you know, recently law enforcement and international news. So when we are keep out of the loop, means that there are certain things that are kept in the dark by organization within the armed forces, within politics, and we know they all swear to it. And you know that if you speak out against the prime minister, that you can be, you know, rebuffed. In other words, your position, if you're a senior member or if you're a junior member, and if you speak out against your prime minister or a member of your organization, your party, you can, you know, get penalized, meaning that your position can get taken, like demotion. We saw that in Travis Robertson. So what we have now in this country, the Bahamas now, is that there are many people in this country who they know what's right, but where they are in debt to a human being means that they so highly respect those individuals that has power over them that if there are things going wrong in the country, whether it's high unemployment, whether it's crime, whether it's the teachers them requesting that they get higher pay, nurses, or whatever the situation is when it comes to government, we have a lot of people around the country who are part of the party who would see there's nothing wrong that their party is doing. They remain silent whilst our country is actually burning it. Every department we have is complaining. So today we're going to talk about the Prime Minister, talk about his plan to increase the payment for MPs and senators, and there are many people who are responding to that, and we're going to talk about that as well. Then I want to talk about the effects of politics, and then our second half of the show, we want to talk about the tragic car accident that happened in the Capitol just a few days ago, and to see how we can work to educate the younger generation and motorists in this country, because I think that education plays a very important role in our young kids, because we look at their age, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and go up. Many of them drive intoxicated. Many of them drive wild. They have no respect for the red light. You know, we have motorbikers. They're up and down the streets. You know, they have no respect for the car operators. They have no respect for the red light. They're going up and down the one-way street. You know, not taking away nothing from these individuals. But the law is the law, and when we don't follow the law, there are consequences. There's a reason why the red light is there. You know why the red light is there? Because when the red light is there, it's stopping you from going into oncoming traffic that's coming on from the opposite side. And if you don't pay attention to the red light and you go across the red light, what is going to happen? You're going to crash. So there's laws and regulation that needs to be applied in the country. I think we need more motorbike cops around the country, especially at night. You know, I don't know how they're going to be able to fulfill the need for officers, because right now the Royal Bahamas Police Force is really looking for recruits. It's hard really to find recruits now for some particular reason. So anyway, my name is Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City for Mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And like I say, we talk about solutions to the country's problem, and we have a lot. You know, every day we look in the news or listen to media, there's so many government departments, you know, many of them vote PLP, many of them vote FNM. It does not matter, because all that is, the election is over. Now it gets down to the fact that people have to pay bills. So we get the PLPs, we get the FNM, we get the people who vote for the PLP. They themselves are disgruntled because of some things that are not happening the way they want to happen. That's how things go, you know, because you think you vote for a particular party that everything is going to be A-okay. No, not everyone is going to be able to get sorted out in a timely fashion. There are many who are going to get left out. There's some who are going to get straight, and there's some who are going to be crooked, you know. And for those who be crooked, you know, they're going to be mad, they're going to be social media, they're going to be saying this about the MP, whoever MP there is in that particular community that they helped campaign or did something for, you're going to hear the backlash of that. So today we're going to have a wonderful show. And before I begin, I would like to give a special shout out to Tiki on Junkanoo Beach, Rasta, and my good friend, I got his name right in my head, Shooks, man. Mr. Marshall on Junkanoo Beach. This is where I go to hang. I go to relax myself just about every day because the sun is real hot. So I'm advising persons out who live in the Bahamas, the place, you know, go on the beach and enjoy yourself, okay? You can't let the tourists come from all around the world to come enjoy our beaches and you're not enjoying your beach. Listen, the salt water is so, so beautiful and it relaxes you. It takes away stress, it takes away pain, you know. Just a few hours, you can go 3-4 hours, you know, and you can just enjoy yourself, get something to eat, you know, you get the whole scripts. So my favorite spot is hanging my Tiki Hut, Rasta. And again, like I said his name, Mr. Marshall. You know, we be out there just about every day, and we get to interact with the tourists and et cetera. Even me as a Bahamian resident, I get to interact with the tourists because they ask me questions like where they can get the best grilled chicken and et cetera, or the cheapest drinks, et cetera, or if they want authentic Bahamian mixed drink, you go to Marshall's, Marshall Avdor. He has the guava, he has the pineapple, he has the watermelon, so he make authentic drinks and shots for guests around the country. So it's a very nice atmosphere out there. And I'm pleased to see that so many other young Bahamians are working out there, and they are making a good living, you know, and that's what I like to see. They're making a good living out there, and it's good for the Bahamas, okay? So we're gonna begin the show today again, special regrets to Tiki, my good friend, Rasta. He is the grill man out there. You want a nice grilled chicken, grilled lobster, grilled conch. Rasta's right there on the side of Marshall's, which is one stall away from Tiki's Hut. And you could grab a variety of eats and drinks with that. But listen, be in school then, enjoy yourself, man. Come to the hot house, man. Go on the beach. Look, you get these chronic diseases. Just go, man. The beach is good for you. Salt waters heal you. Trust me. I play basketball on Sunday, and I be able to break up all my muscles, you know. And I walk from in Lewis Street, H Street Park, and I walk to the beach just about every Sunday. And when I reach the beach and I go in the salt water, all my aches and pain gone, and I'm completely relaxed. And boy, don't let me stay till it get dark. That would be the most fun, okay? So we begin the first show. We're going to begin the show by listening to the former prime minister on what his mom said to him, you know, about politics. And I think politics in this country, they are the most, politics is the most powerful and the most dangerous thing in the Bahamas right now. And then, you know, because the church, you know, look like the church has less power than politics. That's how it seems to me in the country today, because I'm not seeing no pastors really being outspoken on matters that are concerning in this country. They're just siding and being silent, wise. Hell is being unleashed in the Bahamas. And they just need to speak up, you know, talk to your ministers and see if you can get people to stand for what's right in the country, you know. Because right now, we're headed for disaster, all right? All fronts. The host is taking a break, 3 months. I don't know what's going on, man. There's so much stuff going on. Many people are saying they're taking a break because there's a situation concerning the international case going on with Gardner, and they're trying to clean up. They're saying that the government is trying to clean up. Man, you know, they talk about Bank of Bahamas closed down a few weeks ago. They said the government or the Bank of Bahamas trying to clean up. This is the conversation, what is going on out there. So we have the Honorable Fred Mitchell going against Member of Parliament Andre Rollins, Long Island, right? Going against Andre Rollins. And he was speaking to Fred Mitchell. Honorable Fred Mitchell was speaking to Andre Rollins on, and he's telling Andre Rollins that he would not allow him to talk and give the Bahamas a bad name, right? Now, even a blind man could see, Mr. Mitchell, you know, to be personally involved in illegal activities that happen under the watch of the government and the government agencies, right? But you are part of the organization that's supposed to be protecting and serving and uphold the law. And you are a man of integrity when it comes to politics, but when it seems to come to what's right in the country, you are the main one to always defend it. And if you're going to keep on defending what's wrong in this country, remember that there's a God up there, and he is judging us. And what is happening in our country right now is a result of that. All of these things that you see happening to us, because we put our trust in men, and we forget about God, you know. So this was gonna happen to us. All kind of things are going to happen to us in this country, whether it's the hospital, whether it's the police, whether it's the defense force, whether it's politics, you know, man, look at all kind of stuff is happening to us. A 91-year-old getting raped from my own family member, assaulted. Man, all kind of crap going on in our country. Y'all can't see that the more and more we continue to allow wickedness, means corruption, bribery, not defending the truth, but defending the wrong, we are going to get licked, all right? We're going to get licked. What is happening to us? We're just getting licked from all angles from God, because we are moving away from God. And we're more into man. You know, we're more into play. We more into praising man. And the more we praise man, right, man will lead you astray. There are very few righteous men in the world today who have integrity and honesty. And they are very hard to find. Right? I don't know who we could point our finger on, but there are men out there, but it's very rare. So if we put our trust in men, and men go back on their word, and because they are part of a party, they would continue seeing and knowing that a problem exists in the country, but they would always deny it. And for that, they're not a plus to us. They're a plus to their party. But for us as a nation, they're bringing more judgment on us in this country, okay? So we're going to begin the show by playing this clip from former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Alexander Menes. Listen closely, Beaman.
Many people are calling me about the Guardian headline. When I entered politics in 2007, I retired as a physician. I thought I had reached my marks, made my contribution. I wanted to move into another area to make contribution to help the Bohemian people. My kids, adequately provided for, well educated, they're all intelligent, and doing very well. Had my mother been still alive, I wouldn't have been experiencing this because my mother never liked politics. As a matter of fact, my mother's view was that hell was made for politicians and there were too many corruption within politics, and she never wanted any of her children to embark on a political or in the political arena. But she died, and I had a blessing, my subsequent event. But I've always maintained that I would remain honest, remain transparent and fair and true to the Bohemian people. And yes, I lost the election. Many others lost the election, but the Bohemian people made a determination as to who they wanted to represent them. And I respected that. But I want to say to all those candidates who are in the paper about losing, etc., one thing I would say to them is you may lose an election, but never lose your respect, your integrity, and your name. Only God determines your future.
Yeah, very powerful words, you know, and my condolences goes out to former prime minister's mom. Seems to be a very, very great lady when she was alive, same as my grandma. I will never criticize persons like that who give the best advice to their kids and their grandchildren. They are treasured us. And what she said is very important that he repeat. And he said that his mother said that hell was made for politics. That's the former prime minister's mother. And she is completely correct, because what is going on in our country, this is not about the PLP or not having them. The PLP is the government now. But just look at our history of 53 years of PLP and FNM and what the situation is. And we have seen many different incidents where our politicians have said one thing and have not lived up to their obligation. They take that oath and they say and they promise a lot of things to the Bohemian people if you give them a chance, and they would, you know, fulfill the promises that were made. And up to this day, some promises were fulfilled, but we are still fighting for those promises. Prime example, these promises were made many years ago, from way back. They were pledged to attack cost of living, targeting price fixing and electrical rates. Now, this is his second term as the prime minister. He served as deputy prime minister under, I think, Perry Gladstone Christie. So he has been in politics a very long time. He has been a member of parliament, deputy prime minister, and prime minister himself. And if you look back to what Dr. Menes' mother was saying to him, because they tell you they would attack this cost of living 40 years ago, you know? But here we have the prime minister saying, because the situation in the country of people struggling still remains the same, regardless if we vote or we don't vote, or the party wins the election, or the next party wins the election. If you look at the unemployment, I was listening to Chicago Lang Show, I think it was day before yesterday or yesterday, and he was talking about unemployment. And you could see it remains the same. You know, stagnated. We can't go over that that statistics, like to get unemployment, like get it done. It always stays the same because we are not creative enough. We are not putting enough effort in what we need to put effort in. The resources that we have in the country goes elsewhere when we look at the situation going on with these contractors. They're receiving $30 million, $12 million, $1 million a year over the course of 5 years. You don't know how many millions of the taxpayers' money that's supposed to go towards the teachers, paying the police, you know, increasing the police pay, increasing the minimum wage. You know, we could do all this stuff with all this money coming in, you know. They're saying that the Bahamas is the second place in the world right now where all of the rich people in the world want to come to. But yet still, we have so many problems. Your teachers, you know, talking about their problems, you know. We have the Prime Minister stating that he would like to see how we can increase the salaries of senators and politicians. I don't know for whatever reason he decides that maybe it's a quote going back to a few years ago from both leaders one time ago. Let me make sure I get it right. I can remember the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram. And then I can remember the Honorable Brave Davis from the side of the Progressive Liberal Party. And they were in the House of Assembly, and Ingram stated that, you know, if you give the politicians more money, then it'd be less more likely for them to go in the cookie jar. That means they would be less likely to be tempted to make deals and get a cut out of it. And that same money was supposed to go to where they get the cut, right? Hurts the whole nation because that money could trickle down to the many different government departments, could go to social service, and also could provide an avenue for a lot of scholarships in the country. So what you get here a lot of people, you know, they get scraped and they make millions. So the money stays in the pool. It doesn't go down from here to South Beach. It just stays right in the hands of a few people right up and there. But it doesn't stretch, you know? So, boy, it's crazy. It's crazy. So we're going to play the next clip. Yes.
Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell has accused the opposition and the Nassau Guardian of trying to sabotage efforts to increase parliamentarians' pay. Opposition leader Michael Pintard said he does not support a draft amendment to the Parliamentarian Salaries and Allowances Act, which has been circulated to the opposition for consultation. The proposed changes would grant members of parliament $32,000 and senators $16,000 in annual allowances in addition to their salaries. Mitchell said the issue should be a matter of trust.
The Nassau Guardian and the FNM are now at it again, seeking to sabotage a genuine effort on the part of the government of Prime Minister Philip Davis to enable the work of parliamentarians. This requires a relationship between the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition of trust. It appears now that any trust with the leader of the opposition is misplaced, and he is willing to cut off his nose to spite his face.
Mitchell asserted that a pay hike would help MPs meet increasing demand, saying the amount they currently receive is insufficient. He pointed to the three FNM MPs who he said would greatly benefit from an increase.
It is clear that the Office Subvention for MPs, the Capital Development Subvention for MPs, and the duty allowances for MPs are inadequate and have not been adjusted for a generation, and they ought to be adjusted so that their work of MPs can be enabled. The MP for Mycal, for example, that's an FNM, has five islands, and he has huge logistic issues. And yet, the Guardian and the leader of the opposition, his own leader, are now seeking to sabotage the effort to fix that problem. And that of the FNM for East Grand Bahama, multiple islands again.
Pintard on Wednesday denied Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis's claim that he initially proposed an increase in compensation for politicians. However, Mitchell doubled down on the claim.
The Prime Minister indicated to the press that it was the leader of the opposition who first raised the matter of allowances by asking the government to give the MP for St. Anne's an allowance for his work as leader of opposition business in the House. Prime Minister said that, let's look at all allowances, and even thought it best for the leader of the opposition to get the same salary and allowances as a minister of the government. Michael Pintard now suddenly seems to have developed amnesia on the point. The matter was leaked to the press, and now he's like Pontius Pilate washing his hands. I say again, with regard to the leader of the opposition and the prime minister. It should be a matter of trust.
Pintard insisted that at no point did he tell the prime minister that he supported the proposed increases. He said that while there is a need to review parliamentarians' compensation, now is not the right time to implement the increases. Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonik Toot.
I do agree with opposition leader. I do agree with the prime minister about the pay increase for MPs as well and senators. You know, it's been like a decade. But what about the teachers? What about the police officers? What about the immigration officers? What about minimum wage? You know, these are things you got to consider when you say you're going to increase the payment for senators and MPs. You know, why not do it all together? You know, just do it all together. You know, we are people who are complaining from the industrial agreement with, you know, many people want to be permanent. Some people say they've been in 16, 19 years and they have not been permanent yet. All these things, people are back pay, you know, no promotion. You know, whether you're PLP, you know, you're gone and vote to the general election, you think that the progress is going to happen right then and there. You know, you got to be a special person in order for this to happen because you are dealing with a cult mentality where they help a lot of people now. But there's going to be a lot of people left out because either I don't like you, or someone said something about you, or you were effing them, or you don't deal with the party, you would get denied your promotion just because of that. You could get denied because you're outspoken person, but it ain't supposed to be like that because we all be humans here. You know? So the pay increase, you know, I could agree and disagree, but I could also agree with the opposition leader. Not right now, because, you know, if you look at the complaints of a lot of organization, like, for instance, check out Belinda Wilson. She's complaining as well, you know, about the pay and the increase, you know. So this is a slap in the face to a lot of people. Question. Is a politician more valuable than a teacher? Is a politician more valuable than a physician? Well, that's need to be the question, okay? I know that, if I'm still correct, I know that BPL, which was BEC, BPL employees were the highest paid in the country. And I guess highest paid government workers in the country, I don't know if it's still like that, but because of the hazard, it means electricity and, you know, they have to come in the rain and all that, so they are highly paid. They have great benefits and et cetera, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if, like I said, if the politicians are more valuable than the teachers, if the politicians are more valuable than the nurses and doctors. I would like, because all they do is sit down in parliament. These teachers have to deal with kids from morning to 3 o'clock, sometimes even till 5, 6, and they're still there helping these kids. They go beyond teaching. You know, they become more like mothers. Some of them spend their own personal money, the kids in their classes, who don't have it, who don't have the proper tennis, who don't have the proper shirt to come to school. The kids want to come to school, but they don't have no proper uniform. And some teachers go their way and take their own personal money and go and buy these things for these kids. But a lot of government officials don't even know that. Who are more important here, man? Come on. The doctors and nurses, you know, they're here, you know. Who is more important in the country, you know? Set a standard for teachers. What the government needs to do is that if you're a teacher, preschool teacher, junior high school teacher, this is a salary, we could give you $6,000 as a primary school teacher. You're going to get your health benefits. If you're a teacher in a high school and you're working, we could give you $120,000 or $150,000 a year, something like that. It comes with benefit, but it has to also come with performance, okay? It has to come with performance to see how much kids you are able to train, help get their life on their right track. You have good complaints coming in. So it also comes with service. You know, so we have to take for the increase in all government departments, not just politics and senators, man. It seems like, you know, you're dropping the ball. Coming right now, caller. So we have Mr. Mitchell saying that the reputation of the Bahamas, when he's talking about, you know, talking about the Nassau Guardian, saying that, you know, the Nassau Guardian and the Rollins, you know, they discrediting the government and et cetera. But he has a right to speak. And then when it comes to, come right now, caller, just give me 1 second. And when it comes to the reputation of the country, the reputation of this country is the lowest that has ever been in this country. For anyone out there who are part of the party and wants to disagree, then when your children out there get locked up from the police and something happened to them, okay, or your child can't find unemployment, or your grandmother in the Princess Margaret Hospital can't find a bed, okay, or when you can't find no work in the country, all right, I hope you're blaming who you vote for, because whoever you vote for is the one you should be going to. Because we have these problems, we can have these problems in the country. Your child's gonna end up in Princess Margaret Hospital. Then if we have loved ones pass away, the morgue is in a horrible state. You understand? They have bodies there that's been there for months and probably years and can't even identify. And sometimes the morgue ain't even waking. You understand? So there's a lot of things going on in that country that, you know, needs to fix. Come right now, caller. And when we talk about reputation, you know, Mr. Mitchell, you are a great politician. You are one of the oldest politicians in the country. You have won your seat consecutively. You know, you've been chairman, Minister of Foreign Affairs. I think you've been the longest Minister of Foreign Affairs in the history of the country. You are a multimillionaire. The Bahamian taxpayers has done well for you. And that includes all of us. Have done well for you because we pay your salaries. And, you know, you when you talk, you just talk for party, sir. And when you talk about the reputation, you're talking Rollins because Rollins in car inside Parliament speaking on some incident when it comes to international news. That don't have nothing to do with the opposition. That has everything to do with our government departments that is under the watch of the Progressive Liberal Party. That was passed on from the Free National Movement that both parties allowed these officers, and I said officers, to work in immunity means that they had free access with no one giving them a check and balances. That means they were out there, they were smuggling drugs in this country for years, and there was no one watching them or could have pressed charges on them. So that means everyone in government turning a blind eye, and you might know something going on, but you just turn your face. And that is all over the international news. Our reputation has nothing to do with the Bahamian people. It has to do with government officials and people who are connected to the government, whereas party supporters who, you know, who are doing their illegal stuff connected to MP, and they use it to their self-benefit that they have someone in power who they could call and get out of jail card free. All of that, you know, is what's going on in our country. So the reputation is already being spoiled from Curtis, from Miller, from this guy, what's his name is? I can't even remember his name. Gardner. Many Bahamians who are being get locked up smuggling drugs in the U.S. You know, many people are in custody now. So our reputation, and then they send a politician one. So our reputation has nothing to do with the Nassau Guardian or Michael Pintard or Rollins. This is something that has been going on in government, and you guys are the government. So when you all saying that the opposition is messing the reputation of the bombers, no, you guys are messing the reputation of the bombers up because you're all defending illegal activities under y'all watch, and y'all are trying to play it out, you know, without denying it, but still are trying to implement programs in place to try deal with the problem we have in the country. And at the same time, I was listening last week, and they was talking about, Clint Watson was talking about this drug program they want to introduce on early detention. But he ain't ever mentioned nothing to deal with where the gateway is, where the airports the lifeline of the country, and if the airports are sabotaged, meaning if our law enforcement agencies allow narcotics to come in the country through the airports, okay? But you won't put a program in place for us on the streets who smoking a little marijuana drink or who selling a little pound or two, when you are not focused on the entry points. And when you look at the entry points, Mr. Mitchell, look at the entry point. Look at the records of how many officers who are Royal Bombers Police Force officers, highly decorated Defense Force officers who are being involved or accused or now sentenced here in the Bombers and in the U.S. for drug smuggling and firearms. So how could you say the reputation of the country would not be besmirched by the Nassau Guardian and the opposition? No, sir. I think you guys are the ones who give us a bad reputation because you're all defending what's wrong in the country. And you're all trying to be quiet, but then you're all trying to put the pressure on us. When I listen to Glenn Watson, I mean, it's a good program, but Mr. Watson, we ain't hearing nothing but who could protect from the hierarchies, who is going to go after persons of power in government departments who are actively involved in narcotics and firearms and bringing in the drugs, and they get away scot-free because their partners in crime do not go and apprehend them. They only go look for the small guys on the street. So every time I listen, it's all of us the small guys. But we have information that it comes from the very top. But every program you all put in place, it always has something to do with when we put it in place, we can tackle the people on the streets. It comes from the head. I want to see people from the head be getting handcuffed and shackled and spend a long time in jail and start making it as a white-collar crime. Because right now, white-collar crime is the most dangerous crime in the country today. All right? White-collar crimes is the most dangerous crime in the Bahamas today, and it comes from the very top. Okay, so we're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Good evening, Scrooge.
Good evening.
Let me try to remember everything I wanted to say.
Go ahead, sorry. Talk to
you. You mentioned about who's more important, the doctor or the teacher?
The doctor or the teacher?
Politician.
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far. A carpenter, a plumber, a tire patcher is more important than them. Yeah. They can't do nothing. They can't fix nothing.
Yes, sir.
Look how they got the country.
Mass right up.
Okay, and they supposed to have the debt. Look how they let the banks do us.
Huh?
And nobody would step up to say, look at all these charges the bank put on us to keep our own money. They don't give us no interest, no nothing. And nobody in there would speak up about
mm-hmm.
this. And like the bank see them as the church of the money,
mm-hmm.
money of the church. Next thing, you ever joke about the psychiatrist?
The psychiatrist? Go ahead.
The one, okay, he had this so-called crazy guy locked up in an asylum. I can show you how simple the politicians are. And all these so-called smart people. So he was getting off of work and he walked out and his car had a flat tire. Now all this time, the so-called crazy man, he got locked up, watching him from downstairs, him from upstairs. So he sat up, the psychiatrist stood up with his hand in his gimbal looking at the thing, and he decided to change the tire, but one of the lugs rolled down in a drain. So he stood up now, he confused. Two rolled down in the drain. He don't know what to do, and he said, you got to be home, or he say he's taking his wife for dinner. So the crazy man who looking out the window say, Doc, what happened? He said, man, two of my lugs rolled down the drain, and I don't know what to do. He said, well, why you don't take one over the other tire over there and put off at the tree so you can get home? Now, this is the crazy man they got locked up. So, these so-called, I always look at these so-called intelligent people as simple. Nobody is smart. It's just that you are familiar with what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
You are more familiar than the person who's not into that.
Yes, sir.
Because, you see how these young children, they can go with these things and we can't with them.
Man, they grab your
phone.
They
want them all day.
One little girl.
They are more intelligent than the average family, and they're not. Anybody can go up there and learn the rules of the house and speak on the real thing and get upset and start carrying on to get some things done.
Yes.
I'm really upset with the banks now. These banks, they're robbing us. And listen, if the Bank of the Bahamas is ours, Stu.
Yes, sir.
And you got all the banks at the same low interest rate at 0.025. This is a capitalist society. Why don't you raise our interest rate in the Bahamas? Give the Bahamians more. And if they don't want matching, let them leave.
And
more money to stay in the country.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out.
That helps slow down poverty.
But more, you say the banks are ours. It's the Bank of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Raise the interest rate to get more customers to come in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Put their money in that bank. Because that's what Bahamians do. Any sensible place to do, go where you're getting better interest.
Mm-hmm.
And they would either have to match it or leave.
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist for that.
No.
I don't have to be an accountant or anything, nothing. So why can't they do that and get these banks to sit? You can't even go in the bank and get a chair to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
They got two tellers or one teller sometimes and one stuck with somebody who come from the out island trying to discuss their pension.
Mm.
And the line out the door, and everybody walking around with a piece of paper in their hand. No, man, they got to do something about this banking thing, man.
Yes, sir.
I get disgusted. I feel like cussing when I go in the bank.
So, and tell me something.
You
why?
See how stupid the bank managers are.
Let me ask you a question.
See the customers.
Let me ask you a question. How come when I go in the bank, right, they put my money in the bank, right? And when I go to draw something off, they take off like, 50 cents or 25?
Man, listen, I got one account. They take $100 off every month.
So how is that?
And you put the, you ain't touched the money.
Yeah. My own money I put in the bank, and when I look, I get a 50 cent deduction or something every time.
Yeah, I get $99 deducted from my business account.
That don't make no sense, man.
$1,200 a year. And gone for nothing.
For putting your money
and
in the bank.
Our government, they so talk, but they love us and ride the wave and all this foolishness when they at the rallies and the thing. And nobody would come and deal with the crux of the matter in this country.
Mm.
The Bahamian people are supposed to be holding on to more of their money.
Yes, yes.
Not making some people in Germany and Europe and Scotland richer than they already are.
Yes, yes.
You can't even get, you got to drive a mile just to get to their house. Once you get on their property.
Yes, sir. They get acres.
So why we got to keep sending money to these people, man?
Don't make no sense.
And you mean to tell me you love us and you and they're about you doing laws and they, man, no, man, I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this thing out.
Yes, sir.
It's something they're getting from these banks and they're not telling us.
Yes, yes.
So so all of the Bahamians now need to get a rise up and say, if the Bank of the Bahamas is the Bahamian, you know, why are we not getting more interest on our money?
Yes.
Because that way you'll have more money in your bank, more people will put their money in the bank, and they'll put their money on the Scotia, CIBC, and a Royal Bank,
mm-hmm.
and put it there, more money stay in the country.
Mm.
Yes, that's elementary.
And if I save more, I'd get interest as well.
And not only that, the money still go around in circulation in the country.
Yes.
End up in tax, end up in buying things.
Yes.
Keeping our businesses going.
Yes,
Why they can't figure that out?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
And I'm not, I only got BJC, Matt.
Well, you're smart. You like the psychologist?
Yeah.
He asks the guy, and the guy look at the window and say, you know, he dropped two screws. The guy say, you know what? Why you doing all that? Just take one off the side, one off the side, one off the. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that means you got three on the side and three on the side, but you still get enough to get home.
To get home.
Instead of you going down the drain or staying in the rain.
All right.
So you understand?
Psychiatrist who got the man locked up.
He couldn't even think.
What he talk about, what he know to help him.
Yes. And
it's like, I just need help. He ain't got no common sense.
No.
See, these book people,
yeah.
I realize a lot of them don't have common sense.
Yeah, you know, and that's
and
like...
And we think so much of them, we call them legends.
Yeah.
All this foolishness. And they are a legend is not somebody who stays for what they do. A legend takes his own thing and makes something happen.
Yes.
Whatever it is. He is into.
Yes, sir.
Not these people, we honorable this, honorable that. We paying them.
Yes.
They don't call me honorable when I was teaching.
Yes, sir.
But I work for the government.
Yes, sir.
So I should be honorable too.
Yes, sir.
Or the right this and the right that and the left that.
And they crooked.
Hey.
And those title mean nothing. Hey? And those title mean for nothing. That's why I want to.
Right.
Let me ask you something, sir. you know, you really believe there's a God in this country, the way how people is be like, have the sheep clothing, the sheep clothing on, right, and saying one thing, but when they go and they speak on behalf of the people, man, they're doing so much wrong, and they still, they still got honorable, and I'm not talking about no one particular politician, I'm talking about the whole fleet would be had the last 50 years, right?
Right.
And they have done us more harm than good.
Yes, look at the money that goes to this country, and we can't get a hospital right there to take care of people.
Not even a morgue.
Okay, so where are all these billions? Now we're in the billions. Where is all this money going? Where?
In the hands of a few people.
If they ain't the biggest crooks in this country, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles to see this.
That's why I say to the party supporters, even if even Ray Charles, and what the next one name?
Stevie Wonder
could see what's going on in our country. And we are people like Mr. Fred Mitchell speaking.
Oh, man.
People don't do, like the government don't do nothing wrong, man. When we seeing all the wrong, man, we reading the newspaper, we seeing the officers getting locked up, we seeing the guys are selling guns in the streets and bringing in the streets, and they saying this is, man, come on, man.
Fred been living off the part of this land from the time he come out of college.
And that's the taxpayers' money.
If you ask him to change the tire right now, he can't change it. It take him all day. don't know how none but holding no rent or turning no screws.
No.
If you look at his hand, it's smoother than a baby eye.
Yeah, you saw.
You know, a baby backside.
Yeah, he's been pumped with the taxpayers' money, you know.
Yes.
We have made him rich. No, we're not attacking him. We're just telling you like how it is, you know.
Right. You mean not attacking him.
No.
But I mean, and then he don't want to retire.
You understand?
He's been there 40 years, man.
And look, he's sending a lot of people to hell. All y'all who follow behind these people and these people talking wrong. Yeah. I want y'all to know, you know, there's a judgment, you know. There is a judgment. And you're leading a lot of people astray. You all better get your act together. Because one day...
It has bothered me to see how long he's been there and think only him one could do what he's doing.
I don't understand.
There's no sense in sending all these young children to school if he's going to stay in a position for 40 years in the government.
That's crazy.
He should have his own business and running that.
He is the oldest. I think he's the oldest serving member of parliament.
Brave could be 80 in a little while, but
Brave is a rookie though.
Fred,
the Fred Mitchell
should do the right thing and step down and allow a young person who got a family and trying to get a home and all of that, and let them now go through the process and live of the country.
Yes.
No, you done been there 40 years, man. What else you want? What else could he possibly want? And if he ain't straight, too bad.
Mm.
You done been in government now 40 years and don't want to go home. Everybody over 65 home. No, man, these things we got to look at as a people. But, man, I hope and pray somebody go look at them banks.
Yes.
They are the biggest crooks right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The police and things, they drug dealers.
Yes.
But real crooks is politicians.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very much. You know, and like I say, this is not a talk on Mr. Fred Mitchell, you know. He has served his time and done well for the country, and he has helped enormous people across Fox Hill, you know. Don't get me wrong, he's helped a lot of people, but it ain't about the fact of helping a lot of people, you know. It's the fact that's up. You know, stand for what's right, you know. One day, I don't know if people believe in God or Buddha. I can't tell people what type of religion they live in. I have a sense that I praise Yahweh and Yahshua. I praise Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, anyone who come with a God trait, who carry that same part, that apostle who had that covenant with God, and they spoke the same things that God was speaking, they carried on in the human flesh, I follow those guys, right? And one day I like to see that new heaven. But in this country... You know, I thought I was a bad guy in the streets, but I threw all that away. Listen to me. And I can say this again. To you young guys out there, who out there doing what y'all doing illegally, I understand that. But take a look at yourself, boy. Y'all ain't no match for what's going on to the very top. You know? Y'all ain't no match. Y'all should retire from what y'all doing. Get your education. Go start your small business, because it ain't what it seems on the streets, because there are some people out there worse than people on the streets. They are protected by organizations And they put the blame on me and you on the street too out there, selling a little half bag or shoot somebody out there. But we have these things being going on from the very top. You don't know who and what was responsible for the crimes happening in our country. Okay? So for me, when I look at politics and people in high places now, I have respect for the position and certain individuals. But what I see happening right now, it seems that they're worse than the guys on the streets. But they have protection, immunity. So, Mr. Mitchell, you know, you saying that, you know, the Guardian and Rollins and Michael Pintard tarnishing the country. No, sir. All even like the gentleman called, say, Stevie Wonder and Blind Blake, they could see what's going on in our country. And if we can't see, we have a system that is corrupted and we want to sugarcoat it because the party is in. Listen, we are causing a lot of people to go to hell. Because this is what we're teaching our citizens. This is what we're teaching. Even though we're seeing it, this is what we're teaching. So a lot of people is going to adopt to it. And when truth comes to light, it's like, wolf, 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 you know? And keep on screaming out wolf. And that time, you know, you're lying. And then one day when the real wolf comes, no one responds. And I revoice that to say that's what happened in our country today. No? That's crazy. You could play the next clip from a place if it's still there. Yeah, it's crazy. So thanks, Carl. You did a wonderful job just now. You know, Mr. Mitchell, like I say, you know, you have been a state's poison for this country for many years. But, Mr., you are doing us more harm than good because at the end of the day, you know, you have your party and they're going to support you. There are thousands of people out there who don't have that support. And even though you want to do good, but you're doing a lot of wrong because you are actually saying to us, because it's bigger than politics. Because when those guns and the defense force is giving the coordinates to the drug dealers from wherever, South America or Colombia, to come and use the transport sports we have map on the GPS as a defense force officer, he was giving the logistics and all this stuff. And then he was getting the cut. And you don't know who else was getting that cut. And when they get their cut, they distribute it into the streets and they end up in the hands of so many other individuals around the country. And if we see murders, they are responsible, indirectly. We see drug increase, what Mr. Watson is talking about, Clinton Watson is talking about early detection and all that stuff. You are responsible. So when we got to go and spend millions of dollars on police car and all this stuff, that's a loss for us because, like Mr. Watson say, it seems like they want to bring this program for the streets, but not for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, not for the politician, not for poisons who smuggling illegal substance into the country. You're trying to blind out of that and put the pressure on us. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, so Mr. Mitchell, this is bigger than the Free National Movement. This is bigger than the PLB. This is about the lives of Bahamian male and female out there who looking for work, can't find work, young guys out there selling drugs and whatever situation. We are depriving them. And most importantly, we are taking away their sense of direction. Means that they will go more towards doing wrong than doing good because they're learning it from the people that are very top. We could play the next clip. Sorry.
We are actively working on the recruitment of new teachers. We are working on all cylinders to ensure that we are adequately prepared. There are some challenges, but we are seeking to recruit from several countries around the world to see how we can bridge the teacher shortage gap. We are calling all teachers back to the service who may not be engaged at the moment. I've discovered that there are some teachers who are sitting in some of the family islands, for example, not engaged. If you're out there, you are a trained teacher. I'm calling you to the service. We need you. The children need you. Well, we ask you to give us a call, come back and help us to bridge the shortfall that we are seeing. We're also calling on recently retired teachers You're full of energy and experience, and we need that energy and experience in the classroom. So we will be engaging actively over the course of the next several weeks to ensure that we are ready 100% when school reopens.
You see, that's Deputy Prime Minister, the Honorable Susan Chester Cooper. See, all this falling on us, you know. See what I'm talking about now? We have a teacher shortage. Nah, this Bahamas, the teachers, them, are not really interested no more. Because why? Why would they want to be interested in seeing a person who getting a contract for 15, 30 million, or politicians going out in there and getting rich, persons who are partners with the government in the millions? These teachers do a better job than these contractors. You understand what I'm saying? Even the police, you know? So I believe that, honestly, they should be getting pay increase as well. You know, the teachers don't want to teach because they're not getting paid well. Why would I want to teach and they only get them like $40,000-$50,000 a year? Come on, man. $40,000-$50,000. It depends. It depends on if I saw a preschool teacher, you know, and even the preschool teacher should be getting like $60,000-$70,000 a year, man. Come on, man. You know, we're talking about pay increase for politicians and senators. That could happen as well. But come on, Chester Cooper. It's the Minister of Education, and he is appealing to retiree and people on the family island because them nurses, and guess what? The children too stink now. You know, a lot of children too stink for even the teachers to even go and pull up with the crop. You understand what I'm saying? Because the children them now could go home and call their brother, could call their mother, and the teachers them, teaching the kids them hygiene, how to talk, English, maths, all of these stuff, right? And what happens when the teacher, you know, tries to discipline the child, but the child has no upbringing? This is a result of lost opportunity in this community. And these individuals go to the school and fight the teacher. The teacher who helping their kid. Because the child going home, the teacher say this. So these persons would leave their home and go to the school to go fight the teacher for the student. You see the curses coming on us? These are all the things that has happened to us because we're moving away from God and we put our trust in man. And we would actually rather lie than to say or do what is right. And now we the majority of people who has the power in the country are costing the majority of us to lose our way. Okay? That's the last clip, right? One more? So let me say to the teachers, I don't blame the teachers, because if we look and see who all making the money, it ain't the educators. All right? Belinda Wilson, she's saying that, you know, you got to increase the teachers' pay. I with her. Because teachers are the first line of defense. And a lot of these teachers take their own money. And sometimes they be in harm's way, and sometimes these teachers got their own problem. They only have their kids, they put their kids to private school and paying their electricity bill. And at the same time, they're spending a lot of time with these kids. You know, it's 30-something kids in the class, or 40-something kids, and you were one teacher, and you got this for 1 year. And every year you're changing students. And some of these teachers be teachers for 40, 30 to 40 years. And the most productive setup kids come from these same particular teachers. So they go and they train these kids, English, maths, about life. And then with that learning experience, they are able to go and fill out the application forms. They can go there and talk to persons in position to allow them to get in position of a nice job. Or small business, and this is the works of the teachers. Now, in some cases, our teachers, you know, are short-based and are not properly trained in many cases. You know, some of them don't really go there to teach. They go there for a job, to do a job. But at the same time, with training, it can make them become more effective on the job because they'd have the right salary, you know? Just like our nurses, the same thing. They're overworked, underpaid. So why is we talking about increases for senators and politicians who at the end of the day are still going to be millionaires? So I don't understand it. But like I say, give everyone a pay raise. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to have to do it. All right? I'm going to play the last clip.
Tears flowed freely as the families of the four teenage girls killed in Sunday morning's tragic car crash gathered at the scene on Shirley Street to honor four young lives cut far too short. Grieving relatives embraced one another, leaned on each other for strength, and kneeled beside a memorial adorned with photographs of the victims and flowers. Ciara Nabi, the sister-in-law of Stenaya Webb, remembered the teenager spending time at her home with friends just hours before the crash that claimed her life.
Her, Diamond, and Trico, they were by us. They were on the couch with Shannon, her brother. And I just come and they was there talking or was not. And then she came in the room and she said to me, she said, I'm leaving. I said, okay. And then I walk over there and I said, y'all, no matter what time, no matter what, call me. No matter what time, call me. Y'all need me, call me. Because they know what, no matter the hour, I come in to get them. And we were getting ready. She's like, when she come back, we can start ordering her stuff to go back to school. And what's not, so it was like, we just was preparing. And the last thing was, she threw herself on me. And I said, get your big self off of me.
Fighting back tears, Nabi described the Langston University music major as humble, determined, and deeply loved by everyone who knew her. She said Webb's return home during school breaks was always a joyous occasion because of the light and energy she brought to her family.
Her main thing was, excuses are tools of incompetence used to build bridges to nowhere and monuments of nothingness. And those who use them seldom specialize in anything else. That was like one of her main things, especially when it came to encouraging persons. She had a friend who lost his dad, and like when he was ready to give up, she used to talk to him and call him every day to tell him, no, we gotta do this. We gotta stick it out.
Nabi said Webb, who graduated from high school at just 16 years old, was excited to return to Langston to continue her studies and fulfill her goal of becoming a member of a sorority.
She just started to come into herself. So she was getting ready to go back to pledge. She did, she was like, she was enjoying the band, playing the saxophone at Langston University. She was majoring in music, minoring in law. And she was like, you sure I should do law? I was like, yes, come do it. And we go team up, we go be law partners. And like, she was just a joy. Love seafood boil. My card used to get one every day with Uber Eats sushi. I'm like, Nia, I'm over here eating noodles and you eating sushi. She, in her short time, she went to school, she went to college at 16. Because she graduated early, skipped two grades at Old Bight High.
Among those offering prayers and words of comfort was Apostle Anthony Smith.
They might not have all the answers to their questions, God. But God, they all are trusting in you. We all are trusting in you.
Who said 17-year-old Diamond Stubbs was the daughter of his cousin. He said he came to stand by the family during their time of grief.
They were good church members. They were part of our dance team for maybe about 7-8 years. And so I watched them grow from small children to the young women that they have grown to be. Very smart, very respectable. Diamond was like the mother. She took care of everyone in her age group. Always happy, always responsible. Never caught her out of no way. Friday morning when she came from Cat Island, she texted me. She said, Pastor, you coming to see me? I said, come to see you for what, Diamond? Oh, I have a box for you with some flower cake. And I said, I'm going to get it on Sunday. And she said, okay, but Sunday never came.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
Yeah, for me as a young man, I just comment on it. As a young man, you know, lives that were lost, you know. My condolences goes with the family. I know it's very hard for them. You know, some of them still ain't catch themselves yet, you know. Some still crying, you know. That's like four set of families, you know. Others who children who made it, still in the hospital, under observation. They could have some serious injuries, internal bleeding, stuff like that. So we also have those who made it. You know, their family is also grieving. Medical expenses are going to be very expensive for a lot of those kids. A lot of them are not going to be the same no more. You know, I would just like to say this to the driver of the car. You know, we all could be critical of the driver. You know, there were a lot of things that, you know, went wrong that could have been corrected. You know, he is not going to be the same, even though when we saw him in the bed and, you know, on social media, and then, you know, he had his friends around him or his family members, you know, they had their fingers pointing at a specific sign, and people saying it was a gang sign, maybe, maybe not. I think, you know, they were just trying to encourage him because they felt that, you know, understanding the circumstances of what a loved one's children are being lost, and he, you know, he and a few others made it out. I think that, you know, some people were saying on social media, you know, that he's the one responsible because he was intoxicated and speeding, et cetera. So I think that his family were just doing what they was doing to, like, build up his motivation, because don't mind him. Listen, he hurt bad. Hey, he hurt. Trust me, when I mean he hurt, you know. And if he's locked up now, he even hurt even more. You know, it's a sad situation. The best we can do is learn from these mistakes. Talk to our kids, you know, let them know that, you know, it have to be a designated driver in the car. You know, if you guys going out, you know, because they're kids, they're 19, 20, 21, you know, just graduating, you know, they will go and drink our rum. Rum is not really the problem, you know, it is a problem. They mean, like, schools and teachers, you know, and community centers could tell kids that, you know, you're graduating tonight, you know, you're going out, who's going to be the designated driver in the car? Someone here has to be a designated driver in the car. Someone here has to speak up when we see someone is driving, like zigzag across the road or speed, and someone has to stand up and say, hey, no. Hey, slow down. If you can't drive, let me drive. You're driving too fast, you know. But if everyone is intoxicated, there's not a designated driver there, you know, this bound to happen, you know. They just came from a beach party, you know, they're experiencing life, you know, they're partying. When they listen to some of the allegation, they're saying that the mother, the survivor's mother, young gentleman who was in the hospital, they said that his mother was the one who ran him the SD so that he could go. It's alleged that he has no driver's license. He was not an insurance of the SD. I think the mother, out of love for her child, not knowing the seriousness or the consequences that it was going to happen, she couldn't predict this, but you have to have these things in your mind, knowing that if your child don't have a driver's license, he ain't supposed to be driving. You understand? You have to make sure as parents that you at least get permit, you know, at least prepare your kids to get a driver's license. Times you go to school, because that is a violation. Driving on the streets without a driver's license, that's a fine, very, very costly one. Again, I would say we can't blame the SD company, because the SD ran into the mom. The mom gave her driver's license, and the mom is supposed to be the only one who driving this car. The only person else who can drive this car is someone who the mom puts on with the SD, you know, who has a driver's license, okay? And then, you know, the mom herself, you know, she taking up her child, and it offend a lot of mothers and fathers whose child died as well. But you know, as behemoths, we tend to be defensive of our child. We believe that our child is, but other people have children too. So if you have a child and I have a child and something happens to my child, what makes your child so special, more special than my child? But we have this thing where I'd see mothers going, two children fight, and they would go down the road, oh, you hitting my child, but the woman, that's the woman's child too. So what the woman supposed to say, the woman say, that's my child, that's your child, what about my child? You know, so you understand what I'm saying? That's us, you know, that's us. We don't think for ourselves, you know? So they were like defending themselves. I could be wrong. They were defending themselves. But overall, I think that it's shocking to everyone in there. So the SD company has to just tell persons who rent the car from them, if that's their driver's license, only they can drive this car. And if they're going to let anyone else drive this car, They're going to have to call them so that the person can bring in their driver's license. You also tell the person who rent the car that if you give this car to the SD company, owners could also tell the person who rent the car that if you are not the designated driver in this car, okay, you are going to be responsible for whatever happens to this car, whether it's damage or accident. So what that means, if anyone gets in an accident besides the one who rent the SD, it's not the SD fault. And it's not the SD company. It's the person who rent the car, they're at fault. So if we look at this, the mother's at fault. The pothole in the road from the public works is at fault. Okay? Speeding is the young man's fault. He never supposed to be behind the wheel in the first place because he don't have a driver's license, he don't have no insurance. So he never supposed to be in the road. So the mother can't give an excuse. The only excuse she can say is the fact that she didn't want to carry them in the car and they are kids and she gave them the key. But like I said, I don't think her intentions was bad. I guess that she did not think about the consequences on what can happen if these kids go in this car. You just think they're going to come home, but they got drunk. They're at a beach party. They're all about in lap. 7, 8 of them in the car. Speeding, you know, because you just come from a beach picnic here. Graduation, so the kids are enjoying themselves. We all know we come from graduation, but we always need a designated driver. So that's why education, that's why community centers are so important. You teach them about speeding. You teach them about how many people you can put in the car. You got to teach the driver the responsibility of driving, that you as a driver have to be the designated driver to make sure that everyone gets home safe. You know, you just can't let a kid go behind the wheel, because behind the wheel with woman, especially a guy like that and drinking, you know, you're sharing off. This one of them could have been sitting in his lap. Legs could have been up and they're playing music. So we know, we all have done it. So let's not be so judgmental. A lot of things went wrong. Yes, the young mama was wrong. Yes, the mother was wrong. Now we have to put this as an example and let the SE company know that anyone who come running the SD or anyone, and anyone who ran these SD, that you are responsible and that you could be held accountable. And we need road traffic, and we need Ministry of Public Works, that when they're doing works to any holes in the street, that they need to put a proper lighting, proper forensic signs that the people can see before they even get to these spots. Because when you really look at it, you can see that he had tried to avoid the hole, and the car slid because it was raining, and the speed, the weight with everyone in the car, the wheel lock up, and then he slammed sideways, you know. But not only that, there are a lot of people on the road who are driving without driver's license and insurance, okay? And they shouldn't be on the road. You understand? So we need more police on the corners with mobile motorbikes. We need to teach the 10, 11, and 12 graders in school about driving and influence. Use this as an example. You know, we need to teach people. And basically, some of these cars that we help in this country are faulty and ain't even supposed to be on the road. A lot of these cars should not be on the road in Nassau. They should not be on the road. Because the cars themselves, man, some of them like Tony Khan, you know? So a lot of cars that come in the country, again, because of bad governance and bad inspection, should not be in this country. Should not be allowed in this country. And I think that we could do better. Like I say, yeah, we can take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Yes, good evening, Scoozy. You're covering a wide topic. I like that, you know, no designated driver, no survivor, you know, but the thing is with the traffic ordinances, we see the country seems to be running away with itself.
Mm-hmm. You
know, when you look, I'm afraid for my little children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, it seems to me as if the neglect is ubiquitous. Like, everywhere you look,
everywhere
neglect by the relevant authorities.
Example. Yes.
This has to be intentional, three-dimensional, right? You know I like the rhyme because I got to be on time.
Yeah, man, very good.
Scoozy, listen to me, man. At my age, and I look at my little youth, them and thing, I'm so afraid, right? And, you know, Mounty, the guy that called you first and talked about the banks, et cetera, you know, Mounty's correct. You know, this is the reason why you're pressuring me, right? To try to attack status quo narratives and biases on the radio, right? Mounty said something very important, you know. I mean, some people are quicker than others, but I don't look at. He said something that people must understand. You can understand anything you have the desire to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is smarter than you. So I try to encourage people. You have heard me on the airways before talking about smart.
Yes.
Who's smart? Everybody has
the intelligence.
Same faculties. It's just that your background is different. You might have seen mommy slap daddy or daddy slap mm-hmm. mommy. You might have fight this. You go to school, you don't have no breakfast, sexual molestation, all kind of different deviances cause children to act different, right or wrong.
Yeah.
You from the inner city, we have seen these things, right? So the child have to be in a conducive environment at home and at school in order to be receptive to learning and be comfortable.
Yes.
So these are just facts. But for me, the way I'm older, and I'm looking over my shoulder, right, and I see lone boulders.
Mm.
And squishy. You talk about wolf and sheep clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
These wolf and sheep clothing being around a little while. Like,
yeah, a little while.
But just that God decided to reveal them. Let me give you an example. One of the most frustrating things for me, first, let me get to the banks, that they don't give thanks, right? Mauni gives something very important as it relates to the Bank of the Bahamas, where they could have just be different and then get more depositors over the banks by just giving a simple interest rate, you know. I was old enough when the banks were giving out interest rates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is the fraud during the Christmas that you heard everybody talking about, right? The fraud with the debit with the ATM cards.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I went to a couple of places when these two on the roof, I think sometime I didn't buy some lumber somewhere, spend a couple of dollars there, a couple of grand. So all of a sudden, this thing there, saying the bank was saying this card activity, et cetera. So I didn't pay it no mind, but then I went there, it was about $500. So what I'm saying is they said 45 to 180 days. I haven't seen it as yet, and so I'm just saying, you know, you go to them and they, but I haven't seen it as yet. I mean, what makes them think that I don't need that? Maybe they're just watching, you know, the small mom with the little couple of dollars. I wouldn't like to see how much it is, but, you know, you only need to have a little bit more than somebody else for them to be mad and think you have money. But nobody has money like the oligarchs, you know, because mm-hmm. they have money for generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at Nassau, where the people living like Jacob and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you saw, right? This is not going to help us, you know, excuse me.
No,
it's
not.
We are in a situation in which we let's look at Paradise Island, Nassau, Paradise Island being a microcosm of Nassau. You see overcrowding, all demographics coming into the country.
Mm-hmm.
No, the government is not facilitating the increase in population with social infrastructure and armament and equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? My neighbor died this morning in the fire, right? We just found it out. And it's so hateful, you know, I don't want to get into what all the other
Michael Dolores says to the family.
Because it was so close, because the AC on, couldn't smell the smoke, way. But anyhow, what I'm saying is the fire equipment guys, they came, they did the best of what they are, but they were lacking in that they could see the fear in my eyes when they come. I said, no one on upstairs. They didn't have any oxygen tanks. They didn't have any pickaxe.
So that means they can't even go in?
Well, cutters, all these different things.
You ain't getting no ox?
I'm saying what I'm seeing, but the gentleman is dead. His wife was able to say like somebody bombing in the door while saying, fuck up the hoes doing with all that good loose push. I don't even want to talk about it because it's so upsetting. But what I'm saying is, let's get back to the country now. Let's say climate change, right? If I was to really have a real conversation with you on climate change and show you how asinine this is and what they're dealing with, Scoozy. You see deforestation just north of Rolling Hills, the States, right?
Yeah.
Carmichael Road looks like South Africa now with no trees.
Yeah, I see.
Whereby they're going to have gated communities everywhere. And we're going to cut down all of the trees, and we're going to have a concrete jungle, and everybody's going to be arcing as such. Because what I'm saying, Scoozy, you're talking about climate change, but you're talking about carbon and offsetting,
mm-hmm.
but you're cutting down trees and you're doing counter actions versus your narratives.
Well, if you get some contractors, just the hell with climate change, you get contractors, even though they're supposed to be protecting, but they rather give the money to contractors. They rather destroy the country.
What I'm saying is, I'm frightened then that I used to go crabbing in the pine yard. The pine yards, other people's yard. You may tell me now, all right, let me give you a perfect. Let's say we in the plane and we have a panoramic view. You know, Miss Bush leaving now. So, you know, Bush.
Yeah.
But I must sit and say, Gush, and call you. It's so scary.
Yeah. People,
the government isn't thinking. You're filling up. It's like I said, it's an experiment done by the army.
Yeah.
50, 60 years ago, in which they compartmentalized. Mice, and they allowed them to proliferate, and then they started fighting one another.
And
they induced the rash. What I'm saying is, in other words, when you have the amount of people living in New Providence adding on tourists, you're going to have contention, and the most contention will be at the poverty level. And this is the way it is. And so it's frightening when you think futuristically about where this country's headed. Everything is just being allowed to govern itself, even on the road. Everything is indicative of these people don't care. We like a healthcare. It's almost a
state. Every department is falling down.
And one of the most important things, Miss Scoozy, you never could get your money. money back from the police. Scusi, and they still, I see a case where the guy accused of pointing a gun at the police. But if you have camera, et cetera, but I can never get my money back. But they move your money doing a search, and they carry your money. They looking, they come from Ireland. They have one little fight he had in school, where, but some people search the house and the money missing. I had it in the cow foot on my drawer, money in my coat, it missing, but no one move it. They don't have no camera. I move my own money, and you see they saying, yeah, for years, man, I can't get this money back. This lady, $800 in money here, and they're this is the second time it happens, Scusi, but you know and I know. You from the road. You trying to tell me now you ever get any money back from them when they take from you, Scusi?
No, sir. When they search my place.
The other day the police searched me because he said I was a roster with my bump off, my car, get license, insurance, whatever. He take my money in my pocket.
Call like
money
right now.
He had it. Very better than a roster with him. And they pull it off. He said, yeah, see your money. He asked if he could have it. I asked if he could. He's up in the US. This is what I'm telling you, Scusi.
This is what
I'm saying. This happened right in front of Ace. Think I'm right through the corner of my premium borders. I being by a client. It's a roster, so that means I'm nobody. You see, they saying, you see the type of country running. That time they did all type things on this road, Scusi.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even find out. They ain't interested in solving no case, but who killed these people on Jerome Avenue or nothing?
Mm-hmm.
They ain't solving nothing, you know.
No.
Everything cool, you know. This place is a mess, brother. Don't worry about these people beating under death, you know.
Yes. Okay, yes, that's a lot right there. Made a lot of points, you know. I'm going to take this next call before we go. Call if you're still there. You could go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, good night to you, sir.
Oh, okay. Listen, another thing. This thing with these young children today, we doing them an injustice by telling them, if you listen to the talk, everybody loving themselves. And this loving themselves includes getting drunk,
yes,
staying out all night, partying, corralling with themselves. Okay? And when they wake up in the morning, they talk about they was loving themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Loving yourself is getting a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from work, get a good meal, take a bath, get your rest. So you could wake up the next day and feel nice and healthy. That's loving you. Not being out all hours of night and drinking. The next thing I want to talk about, to go back to, because the time is short, these banks. They're talking about a cashless society. You know, most poor people in this country don't have a credit card or a card to go in the bank and get money.
Thousands.
And listen, the other day I went to a bank last week, Royal Bank. The electricity was off the whole day. Now, where are the people supposed to use this cashless card? Or how they're supposed to get money? Why are they selling us this thing about cashless society? It cannot work. Because the poor people, a lot of them don't have passports. They don't have credit cards.
A lot.
They don't have enough money to put in the bank.
A lot.
So what they're going to create is an underground system for money now. You see, you're going to have another black market just for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a cashless society because somebody like me, I don't even like computers.
No.
When I go to the bank, they always want to tell me about use the ATM. I tell them, not me.
You see what happened, right?
I press the wrong button, my money gone. They tell me there ain't nothing they could do.
How much fraudery was going on lately? Where you to the bank and your money still then take out the bank and they had to close on the bank because people were fraudulent.
They trying to sell us this idea about cashless. Like, we don't have no sense. And the BEC can't keep the power on. their generators don't kick in. Or if the generator kick in, it takes about an hour for the system to come back up. How you figure this cashless society for the poor people?
Well, Bank of the Bahamas is closed down for 4 days, and they couldn't get a dollar out of the bank.
Who keeps selling us this idea about cashless? That is irks me when I hear that, man.
Yes, sir.
Because the poor people don't have their money.
That's why I say a lot of people owe the touch. A lot of the politicians owe the touch. And
yes,
they owe the touch.
They keep selling us these ideas, and I wish they would just stop and think. Because they living up there, they living high on the hog. They think everybody down low living the same way.
No, sir.
Some fellas don't even have an account.
Account?
What they supposed to do?
Well, I talk to these people there. Some people.
And the majority of the people poor.
They don't have a national insurance card. And they talking about raw born being men. I wouldn't even talk about the Haitian nationals who here in the country, who, my brother.
And the Bible says the poor will always be among
us.
Because they so religious, they should know that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But they sell us so much false stories,
yes,
man.
Sir.
And sometimes I listen to them. And you don't have to be no rocket scientist.
That's why former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis' mom said that, the late great Hubert Minnis' mom, she said that politics was created hell was created for politicians, and she's give a reason to her son.
Yeah, they should go to hell if it's just one day on a horse. On a stallion speeding down the hell. But they messing this country
up.
The people
right up.
And they, like, Rodney Monker say they eating 2 meat and 3 meat.
Yes.
In the house of assembly. I will talk about when they go home.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ray.
No, they don't understand, man.
Yes, sir. Right in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yando, don't. Deputy Prime Minister, oxen. Chester Cooper, oxen for retired nurse to come by. All right? We have the Commissioner of Police, oxen for recruits. Damn, I'm the Commodore of the Defense Force. Because people don't want to be, people don't want to join. We in crisis because people see they don't want to be that. They don't want to take advantage of people, so they're running away from that. You understand? We in serious crisis. You could talk all of what you want, Mr. Mitchell. I'm talking about you don't want Mr. Rollins and the opposition leader, Honorable Michael Pintard, to give the Bahamas a bad name. No, sir, that's all on you guys. You see? All on you guys. All that's happening to you, watch. All that's happening to you guys, watch. Curtis, Miller, Gardner, they talk about the extradition. About the U.S. said they sent 11 extradition papers here, or 12, and the Bahamas government has failed to extradite anybody. So it shows you and these individuals were working directly with the government. Now, like I say, innocent, proven guilty. You understand what I'm saying? But that's international. That don't have to do with me. That's the state sending. The state sent in indictment from the U.S. for people smuggling drugs in their country and firearms in and out of their country. So this ain't nothing to do with us as being and me and you. This for people in power and people who are connected and working together, whether you're behaving or a politician or a police, and using your position of power to do these illegal activities. So how am I getting blamed? How am I messing up the reputation of the country when these things fall under your administration and your government departments? So you guys are the ones, not Michael Pintard, not Andre Rollins. I think the parliament closed these last 3 months because I think the opposition has been asking very serious questions to the prime minister and to members of the government. There were some serious questions in the last 3 weeks when it comes to finance and where the money was going, you know? And the prime minister, you know, declined and really couldn't answer. You know, he stated that, you know, let's leave from this. That's an investigation. And let's go to more important matters like the budget. But the opposition is sticking on the fact of some information they received on legal activities. And now the host is being put on a leave, I think, for 3 months. And many people are stating they're doing that because they want to clean up. They want to see the reaction of what the U.S. is going to do with Gardner, because Gardner case is coming up within the 3 months period. They want to know if, like, that's what people said. They want to know if he's going to talk and who. The FBI is coming for you in the country, so they are saying the government itself, you know, strategizing on the questions and what, how they're going to answer the question of opposition leaders like Michael Pintard and Member of Parliament Andre Rollins, who are giving a strong debate when it comes to things of importance. Now, I ain't on their side, but the questions they're asking, a lot of us want those answers, and they are the royal opposition, and they're the ones who have to be asking these questions. Now, they used to run away from these questions, but something has gone, going on where they feel that we have to take this stance as the opposition and start to do things that is right and make the right question. I hope that also leads to governance. I hope that you guys, if you keep this up, you know, I don't know if you're going to win the elections. Maybe also, let's forget about that. If you keep it up, you might could gain some traction, but this is not even about winning the election. This is what doing what's right. Ask the question so that the Bahamian people can have an answer to a lot of questions that they want answered in the country. You know? Because Fred Mitchell is defending this party. You understand? Wise, these indictments, these convictions, right? Before the courts. He still is saying that, you know, the opposition is discrediting the bombers. No, sir. It's persons like yourself, Mr. Mitchell. You are a real statesman. I'm only talking on the fact that don't care what your party do wrong or members of your party, whether it's the armed forces or someone a part of your party, like a contractor, you guys have never admit that something went down wrong. You always try to say something right. You always would say something. You guys would always say that you're always right and you all have done nothing wrong. When we all know that there's a lot of wrong going on in our country, and because of that, God is judging us and putting judgment on us. So to these pastors in the country, I'd like to say the Christian Council, Mario Moxie, yeah, daddy, stand up for integrity, you know? Edmund Moxie, stand up for integrity, you know? So Mr. Moxie, you're the president of Crystal Council now. If you're friends in PLP and FNM, you're going to have to put that aside as the Crystal Council, sir, and speak on what's right in this country, okay? Preach, sir. Preach, sir. I hope you enjoy the show. My name is Wellington O'Brien, a.k.a. Scooter Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside Any City, I'm a Mayor's, every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Remember, people, I'm also a community leader, and I work tirelessly in my community. I am still cleaning up in my community to this minute with the assistance of Mr. Brent Simonet, who I highly respect because you know me. I be on this radio. I talk with Hubert Alexander Menace. I talk with people in the Free National Movement side. I'm Mr. Simonet and his wife. Mr. Simonet personally told me he just want to help me do some stuff in the community. He isn't giving no money, you know, just support. You understand? And what he said to me, he don't want me ever, ever stop doing what I'm doing for politics. And he is one of the big men in that party. You understand what I'm saying? This. See, when you're talking about credibility and integrity, that's what I respect people for. He said, I like what you're doing. You are real behaving. You really want to see changes. You're doing some things in your community. I just want to help you. Me and my wife want to help you achieve some goals in your community. But don't never ever pull from nowhere for them. That's what he tells me, you know. Don't never ever pull from nowhere for them. You stay neutral to what you is, and I can do the best I can to help continue support you. Whether it's giving a bin, helping me do one of the two projects in the community. Hey, that's what he said. That's why I respect people like that. They put country over party. You understand? Not like Mr. Mitchell. You understand? If you look coming Hay Street right now, you'd always see a Ben Rondell that is paid for, right, from my sponsors freely. And that goes everywhere in that community. Anyone could call me in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street area. And if they need a free bin and they need someone to come clean up the yard, that's been going on over 5 years, and I've been cleaning up my community over 15 years. That's even the programs I've been doing in my community. And I have people like that assisting me. And he told me that poison, and I respect that. That's why I don't never pull for the PLP or FNM. I was ever like that because I am a nationalist. I support anyone who helping, and they have their heart and their desire to help. And that's who I work with. Anybody, PLP, FNM, anyone who heart is pure and poisons like that. That's what Mr. Simonet tell me. He said, when I met him, he said, listen, I'm going to help you. I don't want you never ever be no FNM or whatever you know, not because I know you and I'm helping you. I want you to be the person you are, be neutral, speak on what is happening in the country. And that is real. You call that a nation builder. I respect people like that. So, Mr. Mitchell, you're a good man. With Mr. Mitchell, God is judging us. These are things that a lot of you can't see in this country. A lot of you might don't believe in God or there's no judgment. There is. And if we don't get on the right track and stand up for what's right in this country, we all going to suffer. That's why all of our departments are failing. So again, I want to say good night to everyone. And I see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. My good shout out to my good friend, Tiki Hut, Rasta, and Mr. Marshall out fish frying. That's my spot. So people, anytime you want to relax, go on the beach and love yourself, okay? Get rid of some of the stress, and it's hot. So I'll see you next week of God's Spill Life on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Enjoy all night.